I have a word that two members are a few minutes away. Three members. With your indulgence, Honorable Deputy Minister, my apologies that we're starting late. We do have a quorum, but there are three members on their way, so I don't think there's a rush to start immediately. My apologies to the Deputy and the team. Thank you. We have a sufficient quorum now. I would like to welcome the Deputy Minister and the team from the department for their follow-up presentation. SAPS will do the follow-up presentation on the 2019-2020 firearm amnesty. Honourable members, you will remember that we requested the department or SAPS to do an update on the presentation. There were certain questions that we asked them to respond to, and there were certain concerns which were also raised. I do appreciate that we allow the team to do the presentation, and then we take your comments and your questions as we usually do. However, if there are any members who would like to make statements before we start, I'll certainly accommodate that. Honourable Member Groenewald.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I want to start by saying that, firstly, there are so many presentations from Thursday last week. Every day I received a new updated version of the presentation, so I presume that the presentation we received yesterday is the final presentation. So clearly something is wrong there. But Chairperson, I have a technical problem. As far as I'm concerned, we are not in a position to consider this application or this presentation or request for amnesty. And the reason why I say that, Chairperson, is firstly, if you look at the documents given to us, what is the most important one? The most important document is the Honourable Minister that requested the Speaker of the National Assembly, the Honourable Modise, to refer the matter to the Portfolio Committee on Police to consider amnesty for firearms. And in that request, because it's legislation that this Portfolio Committee must approve and then takes it to the National Assembly. Now, in that letter dated, I think it was in August this year, the Honourable Minister requests, and he then clearly requests that there should be an amnesty period specifically for the 1st of October. The second last paragraph, it says, accordingly, it is proposed that the new dates for amnesty be 1 October 2019 to 31 March 2020. Now, Chairperson, this is, today is the 23rd of October. Now, this Portfolio Committee cannot consider a request from the Honourable Minister to the Speaker for a day where it's already dates that has been passed. I mean, this is the 23rd of October. So with great respect, we cannot consider the request from the Honourable Minister which he presented to the Speaker. What should happen is that the Honourable Minister should have, can I say, put in a new request that is within the ambit of the times of which he requests an amnesty. How can we as a committee today make a decision on the request of 1 October? It is not possible. And I am sure if we continue, Chairperson, and any institution goes to court, this will be of a vital importance. Therefore, my suggestion is that we say to the Honourable Minister that if he wants amnesty, we must ensure that we follow the correct procedures, firstly. Secondly, that technically everything is correct. So we cannot consider a request from the Honourable Minister where the dates has already expired. So therefore, Chairperson, I would suggest that the committee make a decision referring it back to the Minister and say that he should put in a new request with new dates on where and what time he wants amnesty. That's for the start. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Ter Blanche, and then I'll take my hands later.
Chairperson, thank you. You know, I wasn't exactly sure when I should be raising my concerns. Obviously, I also have, you know, quite a few concerns. And, you know, let me also start, you know, with the documentation. At some stage, I was really totally lost in the jungle. Whether, you know, the lot of documents that we received, you know, and I had to query that over the weekend because the very first presentation that we are going to receive here today, you know, according to my judgment, was nothing else than the one that we received at, you know, the previous engagement. In the meantime now, and I raised my concerns, in the meantime we got an updated document, but I want to also, you know, align myself with Honorable Groenewald. I think we have, you know, serious legal questions that, as far as I'm concerned, you know, are still outstanding. And, you know, obviously the other stuff, I think I wanted to, you know, I thought to keep it till after the meeting, till they did their presentation, but you had to, you know, the committee will have to take a decision now based on what the Honorable Groenewald tabled, you know, and obviously then it's not necessary to raise it. But if they do, if we go ahead with the presentation, I'll reserve my other concerns and questions till after the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll take Honourable Mapatso and then I'll give direction on the matter.
Thank you, Chair. No, Chair, I think that our last portfolio committee meeting, I want to agree with other honourable members that we have requested documents so that we be informed when we come to this portfolio committee meeting today. We know which documents are we going to discuss, and we have requested people who presented that they should come with more information. Indeed, we received many presentations and amendments. I was also a little bit confused which one to consider. But at the end of the day, the document that we have received here are the documents that we are expecting the department to present to us, including the the dates. Maybe we should listen to the SAPS through the Deputy Minister. They present this presentation, and then we will take it from there and raise our concerns. So I would request that let us first receive the presentation as requested, including the issue of the dates of the letter by the minister to the speaker. Maybe it will arise, then we can engage after that. I think we are putting the cart before the horse. So maybe let's listen to the presentation, then after the presentation we can then raise our concerns.
Honourable members, the committee, Honourable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chair. If I may, the Honourable Mapatso is correctly to say that the documentation is very important, and that was part of the big problem in the previous meeting. I do, however, differ on the statement of we're putting the cart before the horse. If we continue, yes, then we put the cart before the horse, because we have to consider a period of this amnesty. And that is my whole argument, to say, when now do we want? Because these are specific dates. We cannot continue, make a decision. Say, for instance, we approve of it. What date do we approve? We cannot approve. The paperwork must be correct. Further, Chairperson, when we started with the BRRR meetings, the Commissioner said that, I think it was on the Friday of the 11th or something like that, I'm not sure, yes, there would have been a directive for ESA specifically given on those firearms whose licenses have expired. Because if you look at this presentation, Chairperson, it's actually about the expired licenses of those 400,000 firearms. That is targeted. Now, I didn't receive any directive. The Commissioner said that he will give a directive, but I don't know whether it has been given to the Portfolio Committee. So we didn't even receive those documentation, because it's important to have that directive to see what was the directive. So we firstly have a request from the Honourable Minister that's not technically correct. Secondly, we didn't receive all the documentation, which is really relevant to the whole issue of firearms, and specifically when it comes to amnesty for illegal firearms. And let's be quite clear on this, Honourable Chair. Yes, I know technically it can be argument to say that the firearms licenses have expired, therefore it's illegal, but it's not true. There's also a court case. Gun owners of South Africa went to the court, and the court is quite clear on the finding when it comes to those firearms. They are not illegal at the moment. And
Chair,
in the
point of order, Chair.
Honourable Mapatso?
Chair, we haven't received the presentation yet. And Honourable Groenewald, he is already dealing with the document. Can he allow us to have a chance to listen to the police, to give us the presentation? Then he will have a right to raise his issues that he's raising now. Otherwise, we're not going to have the meeting. We're not going to have the presentation.
Honourable members, I beg of you to be patient. We have sufficient time. We'll give the department sufficient time. I ask that we listen to one another carefully, so that when we start the presentation, we are all happy that indeed what we are doing is legally sound and acceptable to the committee. So I'm asking that all members be patient. Honourable Ter Blanche, I'll give you all an opportunity to speak. On my point, before I take further hand, the committee received this matter before the 1st of October. We received the letter from the speaker before the 1st of October. When we dealt with this matter the first time, we were within the time frame of the minister. However, it was this committee that requested further information. The meeting of today is a continuation of that meeting. the legal opinion that we have from Parliamentary Legal Services is that the committee can approve the request based on an amended notice, and that we are still within the time frame requested by the minister, because the dates have not fully expired. So, if I am not trying to steamroll you into approving, I am stating the kind of opinions that we have. I'm asking all members to be patient, please. If we need further legal opinion, I shall request some. So I'm going to take, I've noticed, Honorable Groenewald, you have not completed. I'm very patient today. Please do not take advantage of the patience. Honorable Groenewald, and then Honorable Mofokeng, and then Ter Blanche. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. If I can then complete and finish just what I was saying. I hear what you say about the legal opinion. Do I understand that, if I can get more clarity on that, because I didn't see the opinion. If we approve, then we approve only on the date when it has been approved. So it's going to be less than 6 months. And that is not the request. The request is for 6 months. So it's going to be less than that, according to the legal opinion then. Okay, I hear what you say. But furthermore then, Chairperson, I would like, because I did my homework, I did go through the presentation, I would first also like to know, in context of the presentation, can we have the directive of the Commissioner on the renewal of firearms licenses that has been expired? Because it's absolutely relevant to the presentation that is going to be given. Because I didn't receive that directive, which the Commissioner committed himself in the previous or that meeting, that he will ensure that we receive that directive. Thank you.
Honorable Minister, I'm sure that we could, while we are doing the presentation, we could request that the copies of those directives be made available to the committee. And if there is anybody who could do so for us, I would appreciate it. We have had those directives, and if the committee members would like to have a further perusal of those directives, I'm sure that we could supply that documentation. Could we arrange that the documentation be made available, please, while you're doing the presentation? Thank you. We are getting closer to the presentation. Honorable Mofokeng.
Thank you, Chair. I think I agree with actually the latter statement when you were saying that we had a process before, and we are the ones that said they must go back due to things that we raised, and it was before the time. And I'm thinking that now is the time that we must give them an opportunity to present, so that we don't say things that we have read in this document. Maybe they have other amendments that they are going to be making. Let us allow them to do that, because we are in a crisis of these guns. It's a fact. And let us deal with the presentation and hear them and be the committee that takes decision in this. And then we'll take it up from there.
Thank you, Honorable Members. The last one to speak on this would be Honorable Ter Blanche, and then we'll take the presentation.
Chairperson, thank you. I would recommend that, you know, the committee takes a decision about the time frame. You know, obviously, as the Honorable Groenewald indicated, we are just about through October. Before we move ahead, my recommendation is, or request is, that the committee needs to take a decision on the time frame. Are we saying that we are happy with that, even though the whole of October is just about over? I think we need to take a decision on that. Thank you.
Honorable members, I do think that we are ready to take the presentation now. Could we bear in mind that there is a concern about the time frame, and could you indicate to us how you are going to address the matter of the time frame? If you are happy with that, I said that Honorable de Blanche was the last one now. Could we continue with the presentation and then we take your responses from there?
I could abide to your decision, Honorable Chair, but can I just ask, may I receive a copy of the legal opinion? And just on a other very important matter, it's not this committee that was in fault with the previous meeting on the amnesty. The police didn't prepare a presentation for this committee. The documents they gave us in the previous meeting was directed to the committee of the National Council of Provinces. It was not even a submission or any presentation to the Portfolio Committee of Police. This is the first presentation, as far as documentation is concerned, for the Portfolio Committee on Police.
Honorable Groenewald, I had a telephonic discussion, and so it's a verbal consultation. So if you do not rely on that verbal consultation, I will request that it be put in writing. Honorable Deputy Minister, could you introduce the presentation, please?
Thanks very much, Chair, and thanks to members of the committee for the opportunity to present to you the Acting National Commissioner, Lieutenant General Mugwenya, and the leadership of SAPS present here. In Baritaywana's Kumel, when people talk, you hear. We said in one of the meetings that we will come and present to the committee, to interact with the committee, and we out of those interactions we come out enriched. We are influenced by the committee, and we equally influence the committee. The issues that were deliberated on were comfortable with the decision that the committee has arrived at, even though I felt we should not have gone that in that direction, because we are presenting a request to the National Assembly, and the National Assembly through the committee is interacting with that request. In its wisdom, is going to report to the National Assembly. A National Assembly can take a decision that does not necessarily, that is not necessarily the same as what we presented. Like on the issues of date, it's more semantics, it's neither here nor there. Because as you conclude, we still need the 6 months. But obviously because the first month is already, we are midway, it has fallen off, but we still want the 6 months. And I think it's within your right that you can recommend that instead of October, let the amnesty start with effect from the 1st of November or December. But it's within your right. And we would also like to apologize for whatever inconvenience we might have caused with the previous presentations that were supposed to have happened. We are here with a presentation that it's about amnesty. And amnesty is amnesty for those who want to hand in their firearms, both legal and illegal. And it's not intended to be to coming through the back door
to implement the new legislation, which on correctly so honourable member say Groenewald is saying is before court. We must allow those processes of court to unfold and to conclude. So this is specifically intended to deal with those who want to submit their legal and illegal firearms, and I think we'll outline in the presentation as we present this. And maybe if you can allow me, Chair, to ask the Acting National Commissioner to make a presentation through the designated official. Over to you, Acting National Commissioner, with your permission, Chair.
Thank you, Dim. We'll give you an opportunity again after the presentation has been made. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. May I humbly request to introduce the team prior to the presentation. We have Lieutenant General Jefta, the Acting Divisional Commissioner, Visible Policy. We also have Major General Mamuteti, the Component Head, Firearms, Liquor and Second-Hand Goods Control, known as FLESH. Major General Lidwaba from the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation. Brigadier Elongweng, Legal and Policy Services. Brigadier Vish Naidu, Spokesperson for the National Commissioner. Brigadier Malasela, Executive Secretariat, Office of the National Commissioner. Colonel KB Stein, Parliamentary Liaison, Strategic Management. And lastly, we have Colonel Klute, Legal Services, Western Cape. Honorable Chair, I will hand over to Major General Mamuteti, who will take us through the presentation. Thank you.
Thanks very much, General. Thanks, dear. Good morning, Chairperson and the committee members. I'm going to be presenting to the Portfolio Committee the Amnesty Project as per the request of the Portfolio Committee. In an overview, I'm going to cover the background, which is actually talking to the legal background in terms of the Act, the successes of the previous amnesty. Sorry, before the successes, the objective of the amnesty. And then we'll cover the successes of the previous amnesty that were conducted since the inception of the Firearms Control Act, the litigation issues that are actually currently still pending. And then we will talk about the state of readiness in terms of the South African police preparing for the amnesty itself. The last part will also be including the risks and the mitigations thereof to be able to make sure that we mitigate on those challenges that we have experienced in the previous amnesty that we had. In terms of the purpose, then, the purpose is to bring the Portfolio Committee on Police on the draft notice of the declaration of amnesty in terms of Section 139 of the Firearms Control Act, and also to outline the processes in that regard. Most importantly, to indicate to the House or to the Portfolio Committee how far did we go in terms of preparing ourselves for the amnesty project. With a background, as I've indicated, the Firearms Control Act, Act No. 60 of 2000, came into operation in 2004. It was actually replacing the Firearms and Ammunition Act 75 of 1969. The purpose of this Act, therefore, is to enhance the constitutional right to life and bodily integrity, to prevent the proliferation of illegal possessed firearms, and by providing for the removal of those firearms from society, and by improving control over legally possessed firearms to prevent crime involving the use of firearms. This talks to the serious crimes in terms of the crime statistics that we have seen. Enable the state to remove illegal possessed firearms from society to control the supply, possession, safe storage, transfer and use of firearms, and to detect and punish the negligent or criminal use of firearms. To establish a comprehensive and effective system of firearm control and management. to ensure the effective monitoring and enforcement of legislation pertaining to the control of firearms. That is basically the purpose of the Act that is in front of us, which is actually the Act 60 of 2000, the Firearms Control Act. In terms of the section of the same Act, the Firearm Control Act, the amnesty means an indemnity against prosecution for the unlawful possession of firearms or ammunition. Therefore, when you're talking about the amnesty of the firearms, which we are saying the minister can declare in terms of the Act after the consultation and approval of the Parliament, we're talking about those illegal firearms that the people can hand in and they will not be able, they will not be prosecuted. But however, it also covers the legally possessed firearms where people have licensed for those firearms, but they are saying they no longer want the firearms, then they want to surrender those firearms to the state. In terms of the same Act, Section 131, Subsection A provides that the Minister of the Police may by notice in the Gazette declare an amnesty if the amnesty may result in the reduction of the number of illegal possessed firearms in South Africa and in the Republic and is in the public interest. Like I've indicated, the crime stats that 80%, if not more than 80, were the crime stats of where serious crimes were reported, firearms has been used and as an instrument to commit such crime. Therefore, if for us to be able to reduce such, we should actually start with the circulation in the country of those firearms, and amnesty is a vehicle to achieve that. Section 139 of the Firearms Control Act also provides that such amnesty will only be valid if they approve, if it's approved by the Parliament, and the amnesty must specify the period during which the person may apply for amnesty and must specify the conditions under which the amnesty may apply. So in the next bullet, I'm indicating the process that it has since commenced in 2017. Honorable Groenewald can confirm to that. There has been some most of time that we came here to present the same amnesty, but however, due to the changes in the leadership, the process could not be finalized. So there has been some engagement with the previous portfolio committee around the amnesty since 2017. So the recent one was also submitted to the Parliament through the relevant structures with the proposed date and the conditions as indicated. Now, a person who surrenders a firearm or ammunition in compliance with this notice is indemnified against prosecution only for the unlawful possession of such illegal firearms and ammunition. So what it says, it covers now the point that I've highlighted in red, that if the firearm was used in the commission of crime, such as murder and robbery, the prosecution will still continue. But however, if the person is having a firearm that is illegally possessed, so he cannot or she can, she will not be prosecuted for such. In terms of the this section 134, subsection 4A of the mentioned Act, person who surrenders this illegal firearm may apply for licenses to possess the same. Therefore, it talks about a situation where we can be able to trace the ownership of that firearm. It allows the people then to be able to put in an application, but the necessary processes will still continue in terms of checking whether the person must have the competencies, complete the 271s, which will be considered by the relevant office and be approved as such. So that will be the other processes if those people that qualify to apply for such. The project plan in that regard has been developed and costed, as I was indicating, that we are doing that to ensure that there's a proper implementation and monitoring. And we also have a steering committee that is consisting of the DNCs and the relevant divisional commissioners to make sure that the processes is actually well monitored. The objective of the amnesty is to reduce the number of illegally possessed firearms in circulation in the country, to provide firearm owners with the opportunity to hand in unwanted firearms. This is actually coming in the situation where I was talking to the legally possessed firearms. Then they can be able to hand in unwanted firearms. To prevent crime and violence and to promote safety, to address the fundamental causes of crime in order to effectively protect the communities, to ensure living people living in South Africa feel safe and have no fear of crime. So in terms of the successes of the previous amnesty, we had, you can see, it's quite a long time that you didn't have an amnesty. It's almost it's almost 10 years. It's 9 going to 10 years. The two amnesties that we had since the inception of this act was the one in 2005 and the one in 2010. In 2005, the total number of 80,454 firearms were handed in or surrendered. And in 2010 was 42,329. And if you can see in terms of the graph, the green one representing the illegal, and the orange one representing the legally owned firearms. You can see the figures of the people that are actually surrendering the legally firearms which are no longer wanted is actually higher than the one that is talking to the illegally owned firearms. So coming now to the issue of the litigations, as Mr. Groenewald was also talking to it, and I think it was also raised in the previous presentation or sitting that we had, we tried to summarize the litigations that we deemed it thorny in terms of the amnesty. But however, I must indicate that they have nothing to do with the amnesty. We have a case of South African Hunters and Game Conservation Association, where now it was on the basis of a migration from the old act to the new act, which is the Act 60 of 2000, where they were challenging the constitutionality of Schedule 1 of the act. In that case, the interim order was issued in 2009. And is still in operation, where it says people who are in possession of the green licenses, we call them as we call them, they are legally in possession of the license. Therefore, they are not subjected to the renewal, which is the case with the new one. Then we have another case which talks again to South African Hunters and Game Conservation Association. That is the case of 2007. This case came about after we have realized that we were sitting with a number of firearms of which the owners failed to renew their licenses. We issued a directive which was actually telling the provinces or directing the provinces on what to do to handle those firearms. However, we were interdicted by the same association where they took us to court. But in this case, they were actually challenging Section 24 and Section 28. The 24 is the one that says that the owner of the firearm license should renew the firearm license within 90 days before the expiry. And Section 28 is the one that says if the firearm license has not been renewed within that specific period or there was no compliance in terms of the Act, then the validity of that license lapsed. So we were taken to the Constitutional Court. However, the Constitutional Court ruled in our favor that Section 24 and Section 28 is constitutional. Then we came back and started preparing because it was constitutional that the firearms that were not renewed, they were illegally possessed. It is there in the judgment. When we were busy trying to prepare for that, is then that we get the litigation from the court gun owners of South Africa. In this case, they were interdicting subs from receiving their firearms for which licenses have expired. And it must be noted that it is contrary to what the Constitutional Court pronounced on. But however, the Gauteng North High Court granted the relief. As a result, subs is also appealing that. And we know in terms of legal issues that if you appeal an order, then the order will, the appeal suspends the order. But however, we were advised by the council that we should not confuse the members on the ground. We should find a way on how to work it out. So that is basically that. But what I can indicate is that there was never at any stage any court in the Republic of South Africa that actually interdicted the minister from proclaiming the amnesty. Now, moving towards the state of readiness, as I've indicated that we have been preparing to say once it is approved, then we can be able to kickstart with the processes. We have a project plan that is consisting of those five phases that talks to the planning, the implementation, reporting and monitoring, the destruction as well as the debriefing. So the planning part of it, as I've indicated, it is just to ensure that once it is approved by Parliament, then all the provinces and the stations are actually ready to implement. What we have done, we have a project plan which consists of all relevant role players with an action plan that is developed in terms of the work breakdown structure. We also have developed the process flow. We developed the guidelines that talks to what steps must be done when the person is surrendering the firearm at the police station. In that guidelines, we also take a note of all the other challenges that we have experienced in the organization where the firearms get lost in the hands of the police, either in the SAP 13 or during the destruction processes. So these guidelines covers all the aspects. We included the transportation instruction and guidelines. We also included the screening on vetting of those people that we'll be working with during the amnesty as designated amnesty officials and SAP 13 officials. We also have developed the criteria for the appointment of such people, identification of also the centralized storage facilities so that we also do away with stockpiling at the police station, which can actually create a risk at the police station. We also have developed a checklist that will guide the station on what is it that they have to check to ensure that all the processes have been captured. The process flow that I've indicated, I'll be able to touch on it when I move on with my presentation. But this process flow will be printed in a poster that will be displayed in all the CSC so that the members can be able to refer to it if maybe they're getting lost. The total number of the storage facilities that we have identified, especially the centralized, because the plan is to have not to have more firearms sitting at the station, so those firearms will be transferred to a centralized storage facilities that have been identified by the station, by the province, and also the fact that a security assessment in that regard has been done. Then on the issue of the stations, we also gave an instruction to the provinces to conduct a risk assessment and identify the stations that should be excluded from the amnesty on the basis of the previous experiences of the attacks or where the firearms have been stolen and other things. Then we got a total number of 46 stations that will be excluded on the basis of the reports that we got from the provinces. In terms of the planning moving forward, maybe just to indicate that we also have developed a communication plan which with an intensified marketing of the amnesty project where we will be able to use electronic and printed media. We will also be involving the community policing structures to be able to communicate and relay the message to the community. And we also have a relevant code that has been allocated specifically for the amnesty project within the EFRS system, which is the Enhanced Firearm Register System, so that we can be able to monitor the surrendered firearms. We also have identified people, amnesty officials who have been trained in the IB system. IB's testing, which has been done by forensic. This is actually just to make sure that if we have a lot of firearms that need to be IB tested, that we cannot be able to delay the process. We also have engage crime intelligence in terms of the screening and the vetting of the members. So far, we have 1,620 members that are screened. We have 109 vetted, and we're still in the process of 789 that is actually in the process. But however, the process will continue as we identify the need. The detective will be also be established. The detective team will also be established upon the announcement of the amnesty, and basically to investigate those cases where the firearms have been used in the commission of crime. As I've indicated, that the other crimes, they cannot be indemnified. The two workshops that we have conducted with the flash commanders during 2017 and 18, we also have done one in 2019 to prepare the provinces in terms of the processes, and it will be rolled out to the provinces. They are just ready at any time to move with the process. The process flow is in front of you. This is the process flow that I said it will be printed as in a poster, which will be displayed in the SCS, which is the Community Safety Center. But maybe just to indicate that what I want to emphasize here is more about the number of days, because now we're talking about the risk that is there. Then it will say that once the person comes in hand the firearm, there will be different forms that will be completed, forfeited to the state, and surrendered. There will be a different form. But then the people that are intending to apply for the relicensing of such firearms will also be given an opportunity. What I will say, within 14 days, they have to apply for that license and complete the necessary document, which is SAP 271. But then it will move in terms of the administration. What I want to indicate mostly on this process floor is that the firearm, once it's received from the police station, the station will have only 14 days to finalize the administrative processes, to check, to complete the necessary document, to complete the necessary registers, to check where and verify where the original firearms, to capture it accordingly on the system. Then from there, within 14 days, it must move to a centralized storage, which is more secured. In that centralized storage, which is identified by the provinces, it will only be staying there. I mean, it will be given 7 days for the forensic people, FSL, to do the IBIS testing. So the IBIS testing must be done within 7 days, and after 7 days, after 30 days, we must get the result, is what they indicated, that 30 days is enough for them to be able to give us an indication of whether this firearm has tested positive or has tested negative. If it has tested positive, then the detectives will be activated. Depending on the level of the investigation, Hawks will also be involved. So the other process is the administration part of it in terms of capturing it and updating it on the system. The implementation part of it, then, it will talk to, once it has been approved and it has been gazetted by the minister in this case, then we will be able to start with our process, because we cannot start with the communication and marketing, as I've indicated, before we get the approval. Then we'll start with the marketing and engaging the community around the dates of the amnesty. And then we'll also talk to the NCCF instruction, where the communication processes on what is supposed to be done to other province and the provincial and other province and the station will be highlighted. We will implement the process flow and the checklist and establish the task teams that I've spoken about. We also have already established the inquiry desk. The inquiry desk will also be intensified and be able to also include or handle the queries that are coming through in terms of the amnesty. We will activate the detective services for the purpose of investigation. So the third phase is more about the monitoring phase that will be done on quarter daily in terms of the daily, weekly, and monthly reports that will have to be submitted through the relevant structures, and will also monitor the successes or the other challenges that we might have experienced in that regard in relation to the implementation thereof. And we will also monitor the investigation part of it in terms of those that have tested positive. And once all the processes have been done, then we will go to the next phase, where we're going to be talking to the destruction of firearms. The destruction of firearms in terms of the Firearms Control Act 149 subsection 2, it says it's the responsibility of the registrar to destroy firearms forfeited to the state within 6 months of the date of forfeiture. Therefore, after 6 months, we will be able to go back and say
Life Gazette, which then the gazetting will be done by the National Commissioner. The difference between the two gazettes, the gazette for the amnesty and the gazette of the destruction, is that the gazette of the amnesty is done by the minister after the approval by the parliament. But the destruction of the firearm is gazetted by the National Commissioner. Therefore, after all these processes, we will be able to do the destruction of firearms. Actually, just to address the stockpiling, because it's key in preventing the firearms from reaching the illegal hands. So that will be the process that will be done, auditing of firearms, gazetting them, updating them on the system, and destructing the firearms. Then eventually we will have a debriefing where we will send in the reports to the authorities, including the portfolio committee, on the successes of the amnesty itself. As we are preparing, we tend to check on the previous amnesties, and we also checked on the current challenges that the organization is facing. One of the issues that normally comes in when you're talking about the firearms is the case of Prince Law. We know the Prince Law who was convicted for the theft of firearms that were supposed to be destructed. And we also have experienced some challenges in terms of the attacks at the police station. And we also have some few stations where firearms were stolen from the SAP 18. So in order for us to be able to deal with those issues, when we were dealing with the issues of risks, we took note of those and we tried to address them with the risks plan that we are having. The first one was the theft of firearms, as I've indicated, with a process flow that we have put in place is also trying to address that, because we don't want firearms to take long at the police station. And the process of destruction was also changed so that we can be able to destruct the firearms as quickly as possible. The vetting of members who are working with those firearms, like the Prinsloos and the others, they were not vetted, but this time we're saying they must be vetted and screened so that they can be able, we can know exactly that we're working with the right people in that environment. The damages of the central storage of the firearms, the central storage facilities is enough to be able to pack the firearms properly, so that even if the people want to apply for those firearms, the firearms are not damaged. The delay in the IBIS testing, we were going to be training additional members in the IBIS testing. We are ready. If there is a need, we can be able to have enough for those. Inadequate security and attacks on the police stations, as I've indicated, like with a number of police stations that have been excluded, one of the criteria that was used is around the attacks of the police station, where now we're talking about the criteria on the minimum standards. We also have a national instruction on the access control. We also enhanced security at the central storage facility. We will continue conducting the assessment to be able to see and to alert the reactionary, responsible reactionary unit should there be a need. We will also check on the issue of the communication communicate the operation hours, so that we don't have a situation where more people are coming after hours to hand in their firearms, because then it will create a risk for the police station. The attacks or theft or during the transportation, we also have a transportation plan that is developed that provides an escort on the bag, on the number. It will indicate how many people must be there, what type of forces are supposed to be there, so I won't go to detail because of security issues. Increase the number of applications of firearm licenses. As I've indicated, there might be people who are interested in applying for such firearms, they are allowed to do so. Then we will, the decentralization of fingerprints has been finalized, then they can be able to do the decentralization. I mean, take the fingerprints and finalize it there, and then we'll establish the task team to respond to the processing of the application. So in conclusion, we believe that the removal of illegal or excess firearm is indeed in the public interest of the community, and is supported by the crime statistic, which indicates that firearm is the instrument commonly used in the commission of crime, especially the violent crimes. Therefore, we feel that amnesty is actually a vehicle towards the reduction of serious crime. and the involvement of all the people in the country will assist in making our country a safe country. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do you have any other members who would like to add any further additions?
No, thank Chair. I think the presentation is a true reflection of our views. We are comfortable with that.
Thank you, Honourable Members. I'll take hands. And again, please, Members, I'll give you sufficient time. I'll come back until we have exhausted all the questions. I've noted Honourable Member Peacock, Faku, then I'll come down this row. And then please I'll come and end by the Chief Whip, give him opportunity to respond, and then take another round of hands until we have exhausted all your questions. Could you please take down copious notes, respond to those questions. If the Honourable Members feel that their questions have not been responded to, I'll give them another opportunity to ask. Honourable Members, my consideration is, and I'll give you my conclusion as well, is that there has not been an interdict against the Minister at this stage. So the legal team have left. You've seen that they've left. They have another commitment. But we'll definitely ensure that all the legal prescripts have been adhered to. We've requested that the legal team provide their opinion to us in writing as well. I'll give an opportunity to Honourable Peacock and then Honourable Faku. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Mine would be, let me take the opportunity to really applaud SEPS for the presentation that they've given to us, taking into cognizance of the previous presentation that we felt as the committee that we did not say that the presentation was not correct. But the information on the presentation could not give us many answers. And today, and what I've listened to, and what is on the presentation, I would really like to applaud SEPS for the effort that they took and for listening to us as the committee, what do we expect to see from the presentation, so that when we make our oversight decisions, should be informative decisions. And to me, I really would like to applaud that. And secondly, when you look previously on the stats released, the report that we got, it was very scary. As this committee, we made a decision that SEPS should come with strategic means. They must come with proactive attempts to assist us, because at the ultimate end, crime affects each and every one of us. You must sit down, come with strategic ways and means of how to see that we should see a reduction with in terms of the stats that we got previously. And to me, what you are doing today and what you are presenting to us today is for us to take a decision to assist you, because you are bringing this request to us to reduce crime, and it's up to this committee to decide that do we really want crime to go up or do we really want to reduce crime. And for me, I would say I would really lobby and ask that some of the committee members would agree with us today that this amnesty should be approved and should be taken and should be considered as it is presented to us. But looking into the fact that with the context that we have that was so high, this is what steps coming with this to us that we should look into it. And when you see at the narrative report that you've given to us, when you look at the 2010 stats, and you see how it increased massively, you would ask yourself that, isn't it that the fact that the amnesty was only done by that time, that since then the crime has increased to this far? And today you are coming with a solution to us as this committee, that we should assist you to reduce crime. And to me, I feel that this is what we should do as this committee, to consider what you are saying with the background that you've given us. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Faku.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I want to follow what Honorable Peacock has alluded to. Number one, the presentation, I think it's very informative from our previous presentations that we have received. But also, Chair, before I go into the presentation, I think as members of this committee, we need to take into consideration the issue of illegal firearms that we have as a country. We know that after we've received the stats from the minister, the stats of crimes, we saw that many robberies that are happening, murder cases, farm killings, and many things that are happening in our country, it's because of the issue of illegal firearms. And I think that the Firearms Act, Control Act, subsection C and D, clearly explain why do we have amnesty. So I think that covers me, why should we have this amnesty. And section 39, subsection 2 of the Firearms Controls Act also provides that such amnesty will only be valid if it's approved by Parliament. Here, I know that Mr. Honorable Groenewald raised the issue of the time frame, but I was thinking here, Chairperson, since the process is delayed, maybe we should, as committee, approve maybe to say that it should start at least in November. The period should start in November, since now it's late in October. But also, I'm also impressed with the project plan that they have presented to us. But my interest will be in the steering committee, that all members that will form part of the steering committee, that we must make sure that all these people are vetted, because that is where we have problem. And this steering committee needs to be at a high level. It needs to be at a high level, this steering committee, because that is where the information will go out. So if we have a high-level steering committee and we make sure that everyone who forms part of the steering committee is vetted, I think the project plan will go ahead. I just need a clarity on objectives, number two, to provide firearms owners with an opportunity to hand in unwanted firearms. Maybe if that objective can please be explained to me. And I know, Chairperson, there was a lot of issues around litigation that was raised in our last committee meeting, but I think the presentation has responded to some of the questions that I had. It's good to see that, of course, there's readiness in all provinces and there's exclusion of some police stations. Maybe also, yeah, I need to understand why are some of these police stations excluded in some provinces. But Chairperson, overall, I would also recommend that we make sure that as this committee, we approve the amnesty by the period to start in November. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, when you do your presentations, could we bear in mind that the select committee will only be sitting on the 30th? So when the department and SAPS respond, could you bear that in mind and suggest a solution to the dates or proposals for dates? There's no way in which I believe we'll be ready by the 1st of November if there is any consideration by the committee. So when you do respond, could you also take that into account, please? Honorable Member Molekwa, and then Honorable Member Molekwa.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me also congratulate the department, especially SAPS, on their presentation, which is very comprehensive and informative, and I think it's in detail compared to the previous presentation that was presented by the committee. But I just want clarity, especially on the IBIS process. Just want to know that if there is any mechanism of monitoring in terms of the IBIS processes, and also, is there any security measures put in place, especially as we know that we are dealing with very dangerous objects. So it's very important that we have a very strict and tight security on the whole process. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mufke.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thanks for the presentation. I align myself with my colleagues. That is a prepared one, and we can see that SAFS is ready for us.
Chair, I just want to start where actually my colleague has left on the IBS, that the contract has expired, and now I can see that SAFS is preparing to be doing internally. Can they tell us how far are they? Because maybe will also be something that will maybe reduce the cost, or if they are going to appoint somebody else. But now on the issue of the designated amnesty officers, I want to know if you are ready, and are you going to be, if you are ready, have you started with screening and vetting? Because it's very important that we have people that have been vetted on this. And on the issue of the 450,000 actually guns that we know that they are not licensed, I want to know that what would be the average lead for time for issuing a firearm licenses if it happens that the gun owners apply at the same time? Are you having that capacity of making sure that they are reissued? But on the same, again, I want to know that what will happen with the, if maybe first let us allay the fears of people that actually their license has expired. What is it that you have done to communicate so that they know that the process that SAFS is going to be taking is this one? Because remember, some people are worried that we have licenses that have expired. The communication thereof will be very important. Now, the other thing is, how will SAFS separate the amnesty firearm and firearm surrendered, especially when you look at the hunting rifles and all that, so that people must be able to know, as gun owners, you have a clear communication with them on that regard, because that will be the main thing that will be on that. Are you also, I think this will be on Deputy Minister, that are you looking forward to have another summit, that you had a summit before of firearms and all that, so that we can educate people enough into the very same information? And on those, Chair, I think that we are ready to be dealing with the department, because we can see that now they are ready to be working on this matter. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Member Shimbeni.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for the presentation. I don't have much. I just quickly want to find out from the department if there's any funds that are being used for promotions or the materials to promote the public awareness on the amnesty. And then secondly, we are talking about firearms. So is the objectives is about the firearms or the firearms and ammunition? Because they might bring the firearms and keep the ammunition. So it must be the firearms and firearms and ammunition. Thirdly, on the types of firearms, I've seen that we do have the successes, but we did not get what type of firearms have been handed in the previous amnesty. Are these South African-made firearms, or we've got foreign firearms, so as to concentrate on how these foreign firearms are coming into South Africa? And then the last one, the stations which are excluded in the different provinces. I think that once we must also know which stations are excluded so that people don't just go there and be told to go back. Are we going to announce that such and such station is excluded for amnesty or what? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mafanya.
Thank you very much. and the leadership of SAPS, honorable members. Mine are just a few questions that I'd like to put. Is there a limit to a number of guns a person is entitled to have? Then the other, I expected actually to be briefed more on the previous amnesty deliberation that gave us the momentum to come to a level where we have to be applying again this amnesty, taking into consideration there were successes in and around 2010, I believe. So we should have been taken into confidence to say these are the things, and then what attributes to people not to apply, to let their license expire. So we should be told, because in the applications, even before he gave amnesty, there were reasons put forward why they applied for amnesty. The other thing is that, is there a reminder that you issue to gun owners to renew their licenses within the prescribed period? Taking into account the number of expired guns, close to almost 450,000, it leaves much to be desired. Then the last one might be is actually the on the outlawed assault rifles that are in the hands of criminals that might have committed crimes. What measures do we do to encourage such weapons to be removed from society? Because the reality, they might have committed crime, meaning that there is that fear factor on them that they cannot even begin to think of handing them over, because they will definitely be arrested or whatever means that are there. How best can we ensure that we remove such weapons to our society, taking into consideration that they might not even think of applying for amnesty? I think that will be all for now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kunawa.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I want to ask that the honorable members bear in mind the following. This is not the first time that there's a request for amnesty when it comes to firearms. In fact, it's the third time. We had one in 2005 and one in 2010. What is the real aim of amnesty? The real aim is to get illegal firearms that can be used by committing a crime. Now, Chairperson, I said it previously. I've asked questions. You have the statistics here on slide 8. You will see that for the majority of firearms that has been handed in those two amnesty periods were legal firearms. And the General said, she emphasized, it's an opportunity for those people who have unwanted firearms to hand in. Now, firstly, Chairperson, if you're a legal firearm owner, you've got a legal firearm license for that firearm, you don't need amnesty to go and hand it in if you don't want the firearm anymore. You can take it any time to the police and say, listen, I've got this firearm, it's legal. I'm the owner, I've got a legal license, but please, I don't want it anymore, destroy it. So you don't need amnesty to give an opportunity to legal firearm owners to get rid of their firearms, the unwanted firearms. That's misleading this committee, with great respect. Furthermore, in both those amnesty, because all firearms handed in, they have to be tested ballistically and to see whether it was involved in any crime. And the figure of those firearms, the illegal ones, handed in the amnesty by the statistics of the police self were a zero. Not one single firearm that had been handed in those two amnesty periods were used in any crime. And it's logic. A criminal will not go and hand in his firearm, because even if you give amnesty and it is found that it was used, the firearm was used in a crime, then you not receive amnesty not to be prosecuted. Then the law determines you still have to be prosecuted. So we must be very clear in our minds when we talk about amnesty. And by the way, I supported those two periods. But we have a different situation today. Why? Because, Chairperson, this amnesty requested by the minister and the police now, it's not really about the fighting of crime and the illegal firearms. The aim is quite clear. It's about those firearms where the renewal of the firearms licenses lapsed. And that's why we have the litigation. And on that, Chairperson, I want to ask some questions. Firstly, the Honourable Minister referred and he said they don't want to use a backdoor on the court orders. Now may I say to the Honourable Deputy Minister, and that's also my question to the police, if you look at the documentation given to us on the declaration of amnesty in terms of section 139 of the Firearms Control Act by the police, on this specific case, it states in paragraph 2.6, it says, on the eve of tabling the draft notice before Parliament, the gun owners of South Africa brought legal action against SAPS, which in all probability would impact on the envisaged amnesty. 2.7. Consequently, the minister took a decision that the amnesty process be put on hold until all legal actions relating to firearms are finalized. The document here we've attached and marked as an Annexure B as reference. Well, this document I received doesn't have an Annexure B, so we did receive all the documents. But it was the minister who said it must be held until all legal actions relating to firearms finalized. Therefore, if you look, for instance, there was a directive from the police. On 30 July 2018, the National Commission issued a directive upholding the interim court order of the gun owner South Africa. The SAPS directive further provides that persons who had already handed over their firearms because of the Constitutional Court judgment of June 2018 must be handed back their firearms, is so requested by the owner. So, let's get clear. Yes, it's true. It does not interdict the minister to have a period of amnesty. But that was irrelevant. It was not part. And the Constitutional Court stated, it's not a constitutional right to possess a firearm. That was the crutch of the Constitutional Court. That was it. Because if it was against the Constitutional Court, I can assure you, that gun owner South African's application wouldn't have been successful. It says clearly it must be handed back. Now we're coming forward and we say that there's no interdict on the minister as far as that is concerned. At this moment, it is said that they're still busy with the litigation. But if you look at the document of the police itself, the minister itself said, everything must put on hold until the legal actions relating to firearms are finalized. There is a court order that says that if you've taken firearms from people whose firearms licenses have been expired, you must hand them back. And that's why the minister said, hold, keep everything on hold. And that litigation is not finished yet. We're still waiting for the police. Nobody else. SAPS must continue with their litigation as far as the gun owner South African court case is concerned. Now my question is, firstly, why are we taking so long? If this is so urgent, why does the police take so long? And okay, the same document says then suddenly, notwithstanding what I said, during a meeting on 28 June 2019 that took place at SAPS Academy, Tswane, the minister directed that the process to declare firearm amnesty be initiated as a matter of urgency. What is that urgency? The court order says, if my firearm has expired and I didn't apply within the time frame, you give it back to me. You're not allowed to have it. So it doesn't make sense. So, with great respect, Honorable Deputy Minister, this is using a backdoor, because we know that people will think they can give back their firearms. They're unsure what the situation is now. And I want to emphasize the fact, to say that people, they have an opportunity to hand in their unwanted firearms. I want to emphasize this misleading this committee. You can go tomorrow, you can go this afternoon, if you don't want your firearm, and you can hand it in to the police, please, get rid of it. Therefore, Chairperson, I also want to say the following. The documentation is not complete, because if you look, for instance, on slide 12, you will see that there are 46 police stations. That's right. That are excluded from this project. But if you look at the documentation given to us by the police with the annexure, and that's the notice, which is the most important thing, because the notice will be gazetted. It says in paragraph A, a written application for amnesty by an applicant must, with the exception of the police station set out in the annexure, be handed to the duly appointed designated amnesty officer at any police station in the Republic of South Africa. That annexure, in other words, the documentation we have that is going to be published in the Gazette, only lists three names. And the name of the annexes is KwaZulu-Natal, Isipingo, Western Cape, Bellville South, Mpumalanga, Kanyamazani. So the documentation from the police, the draft documentation and consideration report that's going to be gazetted only mentions three police stations. But with our presentation, we have 46. And we only see Eastern Cape 5 and all that. We want the names. And why is that so important to have the names, Chairperson? Because of the fact that the police don't have control over firearms. With the BRRRs, we heard that they even issue firearms that's not even pin dotted or dot pinned and ballistic tested. So there's a great concern in the public that as far as firearms concerned, the way the police services handle them. And we're talking about 400,000 firearms here. 400,000, more or less. Now we as a committee will have to take a decision to say, okay, it doesn't matter. you go and hand in your firearm. Yes, we know the police has a track record of very poorly safety and handling of the firearms. And that brings me to my next question, Chairperson. If you look at slide number 13, in slide number 13, as far as the training of people are concerned, the designated amnesty officials, it says details of 2,518 members were provided to Division Crime Intelligence for screening and vetting. So currently, it's today, 1,620 members are screened, 109 vetted, and 789 are still in progress. At this moment, according to these documentation, there are only 109 people vetted. The screening is not vetting. The screening is just going through to see the details of the designated amnesty officials. Now, how on earth, and we're talking about time frames here of the 1st of November, or even 1 December, Jefferson, there is no way, and the Honourable Member is correct when she said, it's very important to ensure that the people going to handle these firearms are properly vetted. Now my question to the police is, how are you going to ensure that at this moment you only got 109 vetted DAOs of the 2,500? If it took you so long up till now to have only 109, how is it possible that you're going to do the rest before the amnesty period, whatever it's going to be? Further, Chairperson, I still want to know when we're going to get the directive. We said we're going to receive it.
I think, could we just get an indication if all the documents have been made available to the members? Because I have the declaration of the amnesty, the notice for consideration by Parliament. Could we ensure that all the members have those documents, please? You have it.
That's what I referred to when I referred to A, the annexure. It's a draft notice for consideration by Parliament, declaration of amnesty in terms of Ministry of Police. It starts with A, referring to the stations that have been excluded. Then you have another document, Chairperson. Included in that package is also the declaration of amnesty in terms of Section 139 of the Firearms Armed Control Act, from the police services itself. There are many people who have signed this document. Yepta, Khan, Masimola. So I presume that the Honourable Members do have that document, and in the end, the Commissioner Sithole and the Minister signed that document. And I'm referring to that document specifically when I referred to 2.6, 2.7, where the minister decided there must be a hold on until all litigation has been used. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable de Blanche.
Chairperson, thank you. We had the presentation, but unlike some of the members, I'm not that much impressed. My concerns really, it's just, came true. And I want to start by saying that the police is not nearly ready for this amnesty. And before I go to the specifics, Chairperson, I'm representing the Democratic Alliance, and the Democratic Alliance supports everything that will bring crime in this country down. So therefore, a proper amnesty process will be strongly supported by the Democratic Alliance. Chairperson, we were told at the previous engagement that this is a follow-up presentation where certain or more information will be given to us. Can I read from the very document that I have in front of me? A copy of the draft notice on amnesty was not made available to the committee. Now, in the meantime, we got a copy, but I got three different versions of a copy of the amnesty. And, you know, as the Honorable Groenewald indicated, the one document indicates that it's applicable to all police stations. Now, apparently the number of police stations included in this whole initiative is a moving target. Then you have all police stations, then you only, four is not anymore, is taken out. Now we're sitting with 46. My question is, how many police stations are going to be included in this program? Apparently the police does not know themselves. Chairperson, the second thing, we also requested that we need to get some indication of public participation. It's in this document. I haven't heard one thing about public participation and to what extent that was done. Chairperson, we requested to be updated on the status of the Firearms Control Amendment Bill. Once again, I didn't hear anything. And then lastly, Chairperson, it is noted here the confusion on the ongoing litigation on the renewal of firearms must be addressed before the declaration of firearm amnesty. The Honorable Groenewald has dealt quite extensively with that. Chairperson, but the confusion is even more now. I think that, you know, we need to be honest. Chairperson, let's, you know, if we're going to have an amnesty, and let's just for a moment or a minute now assume that all 400 or 450,000 so-called illegal firearm owners are going to hand in their firearms at police stations. It will obviously be regarded by the uninformed that it's a very, very successful amnesty that we had. It's not successful. The fact that we have so many illegal firearms in the possession of people in this country is the police's fault. Their inability to run a proper process. They haven't sorted themselves. To my knowledge, and my question is to the Honorable Minister, what happened to the interim judgment? Have you appealed that, Minister? And if you have, what is the outcome? We know that there is no outcome at the moment, and yet we are running now with a firearm amnesty process. The Honorable Groenewald mentioned that there was no, I repeat myself again, previous rounds, one illegal firearm or firearm so-called illegal connected to any crime committed. So we must be honest to the public and say we are taking firearms away from honest, law-abiding citizens because of the police's inability to do their work. That is the factual position. And, you know, we have a necessity in this country. Chairperson, South Africa is a very dangerous place. Now we are unarming innocent people because of their fear that they will be charged if they hand in their firearm. I don't think that is honest at all. We really need to ensure that we assist honest, honorable people of this country to be able to defend themselves. It's a very dangerous country that we're living in. Chairperson, let me go on. Okay, I dealt with the police stations. Coming to, you know, we even touched on the crime stats, and the expectation created is that the crime stats will go down dramatically. I haven't seen that dramatic decline in crime stats the previous two rounds. So once again, are we honest here? Chairperson, then the security measures that needs to be taken or need to be taken at police stations. My question is, what is regarded as minimum requirements for safety? Because at the moment, the police cannot even safeguard their own firearms. And now they're expecting people to hand in their firearms. They are interdicted not to do that because of the very reason. I touched on the crimes, Chairperson. Chairperson, I already said that I don't think the police is ready to go ahead. Honorable Groenewald already touched on people that needs to be vetted, people need to be trained. You know, they are not sure where exactly the firearms are going to be kept and safeguarded. You yourself indicated that you don't think they'll be able to start on the 1st of November. Chairperson, I think, and that is my plea, and that is my stance, I think that we need to send the police back. They need to go and apply their minds. They need to come up, they need to get their own house in order first. And only then, Chairperson, we can go ahead with an amnesty. You know, in the case where a person, the firearm is so-called illegal, if that person hands in that firearm, he can simultaneously apply for a new license to be issued to him or her. Amnesty, that's a different story. Your firearm is gone. Chairperson, I can't support that. Thank you.
Honorable members, this time I would like to ensure that I am not misrepresented. I do not want to be misrepresented. The last time we dealt with this, there was a complete misinterpretation of what I said. I did not doubt the capacity of the police in terms of their preparedness to implement. I simply stated a fact that the select committee would only be sitting on the 30th. And it would then have to go from the select committee to the National Assembly. This would make the date of the 1st of November practically impossible. I at no stage doubted or questioned the capacity of the police. Could that be understood, categorically understood, please? I'll now take Honorable Member Mapatsa.
Thank you, Chair. I don't think it will be advisable as a committee to take a decision that we send the police back for another day. Today's presentation to me is much clearer, and I can interpret it outside in my constituency work. Now, we are dealing here with illegal firearms, which to me is non-negotiable. If you have an illegal firearm, and I was saying, you see, if you have an illegal firearm, whether it was for the right or wrong thing, the fact remains it's illegal. You are saying we are living in a highly crime-inflated country. Now, the amnesty is trying to say, in order to reduce crime, there are many illegal weapons that are in the hands of other people. And the police are saying we need to reduce that.
And now they are saying that there must be an amnesty. But if I bought an illegal firearm and it goes through the forensic and it's found that it has killed 10 people, you'll suffer the consequences of buying an illegal gun. That is understood, and I don't think we should we disagree. I think all of us, we agree, and we must encourage that people must hand over illegal firearms. I was even going to propose that maybe we must have initiatives, you know, to be flexible, to say, okay, I bought this firearm because the township that I reside at, it's crime, you know, related. So people, they buy these guns just to save themselves, not to do criminal activities. So if we say an amnesty, I'm just saying for communication purposes, for the flexibility of the police, to say, put it in an envelope, just like we do with the public protector, and say anonymous envelope, you know. You just go to the police station. I'm just giving an example. I'm not saying that. Yes, it's illegal, but you just said, Honorable Groenewald, people will not hand over their weapons. So we're saying in order for them to hand them over, we must be also be flexible to come with initiatives as leadership to say at least it's going to hand that firearm to the police station or next to the gate of the police station, where the police will see it in an envelope, and they will cordon off the area to say there's a bomb there, only to find that it's a weapon, and when they trace, it might have killed many people. But we have now on the line of saying we are reducing a crime, we want to get these illegal weapons. I think that one, all of us, we agree. The second one is, I think it's the clarity on the licensed firearms. I think the 450,000, my understanding, is the licensed firearms whose licenses have expired. It's not that these are If I'm subject to correction, but the way I read it and I understood is that this is 450,000 firearms that are licensed, but the licenses have expired. Now, the question that I would want to ask is that if this 450,000 or 400,000 people, they come and hand over their weapons. First, it's safety. Secondly, is that not to disadvantage people who bought their firearms? Is it subs ready, especially the licensing department, to make sure that they don't take too much a long time before they reissue a new license? Isn't it that the person must go for competency test and all those things? And those are the things that I would like the subs just to explain, to say, in order not to delay our people, to say, we will make very fast that you get your license back. The legal issue, I think that they will have to explain, because it was one of the things that really is confusing me also. Because the Constitutional Court pronounced in favor of SAPS, but there was an interdict by the High Court for the relief by the High Court. And it says that the subs be interdicted from receiving firearms for which licenses have expired. So I now understand that the gun owners of South Africa, they are interdicting people whose licenses have expired, that they cannot be repossessed. That's my understanding, that they cannot be repossessed. They are illegal. If they are illegal and there is an interdict, I think we should be able to really deal with the subs to deal with this matter urgently of the interdict. How long is it going to take? When is it coming back? Because you see, with the illegal firearms, I'm fine. But with this interdict still here, and we want to proceed with the firearms amnesty, it's really going to confuse us. I know maybe you might win it because the Constitutional Court has ruled in favor. I'm not saying you can do that, but the Constitutional Court. But I agree that as we do this thing, we must close all the loopholes as we act as the Department of Police together with the department. My colleagues have raised the IBIS. But if I listen properly, they said the forensic. IBIS is the forensic. Is it called? Yeah? Testing and what, yes. They spoke about 7 days. It will take 7 days. And then 30 days, they will get the report whether the firearm was used illegally or not. But it doesn't say if I have got a firearm, I have killed another person secretly, and it is unknown who killed that person. I think I should be subjected to that my firearm must be tested whether it was not involved in criminal activities. It should undergo that processes. I agree with Honorable Groenewald that as we wait for these things, I don't think it should stop the minister from saying, let's proceed with this illegal firearms. People should bring back the illegal firearms, because we want to get rid of these illegal firearms, because they're the ones that are committing crime. So if we still delay because of other things, those who are fighting for legal the licensed firearms, I think the police will find a way of how to put it. But you can't stop saying surrender illegal weapons. We'll be failing on our duty to say we want to reduce crime. But we sit here as members of parliament and say, no, technically we can't hand over the weapons. Those that are illegal, I see here even the presentation is highlighted red. That means it's dangerous to have an illegal firearm. We must get rid of it. I don't understand me. Why do we give an amnesty for a person with an illegal firearm? Amnesty for what? You bought this thing illegally, and you you know that this thing was taken from somebody, and it might have committed many criminal activities. It might have killed my sister. So I don't think the illegal ones we should really take cover with the expired licenses. The expired licenses, there is an interdict. It's a relief, which they will explain at the police. The issue that I want to raise is the distraction part of it.
Honorable Makwato.
It's the last one.
Could you do your last one?
Yes. I can see that there are other chairpersons.
No, we have more. And
yeah.
I told all the members that we are very patient today.
Yeah.
To give the SAPs an opportunity to respond, because there are many questions that have been asked.
Yes, unfortunately I was the last.
No, you will be the first in the next round. Sorry, Honorable
Yes,
Mafat.
But others were given enough time.
No, you still have enough time.
To present.
I'm saying I'll come back to you again. You'll have enough time.
I'm coming to the last one, Chair, that I also want to request you, Chair, that maybe we get a presentation on the Firearms Control Act so that you are clear. And what is this all opposition about it? Maybe we should get a presentation on it. If the previous members of parliament did receive it, we are new, we don't know about it. We need to get informed about it, because some of the things, they are linked to this thing. So on the distraction part of it, what does SAPs get from that destruction of the firearms? I happen to serve in the committee of what is called the NACCC, or the NCCC, National Arms... NCACC, the National Control...
National Arms Control Committee.
That's it. You see? So, where there is destruction, you know, you can see where they started up to the end. And there's no way that you can miss it. But I just wanted to know, what does SAPS get from that? Now, I know that PFMA things and something like that. Whilst I was serving there, my honourable member, Mafanya, is my friend. Honourable member Mafanya, is that in the NCACC. There was a proposal that why don't we give military veterans an opportunity to get involved in the destruction, because they are...
Honorable Member Mapa.
Mr. Chairperson, yeah, point of order. I understand my good colleague here, but I think we're going too far now. This is Portfolio Committee of Police. I understand that destruction is something else. I would request that we deal with this matter, focusing on that specifically.
Am I out of order?
Honorable Member Mafatsu, we have deleted your last statement. It has been removed from the record. You may continue.
Yes, Chair. It's fine. Let it be deleted. You see? I'm asking, what does SAPS get from that distraction? You know? because it's a company that is destroying that thing, the ammunition and arms. I'm just asking, what does SAPS get from that? Okay, the last one.
That is allowed?
Yeah, that is allowed. The last year, I wanted to say, I don't think we have got 46 police stations in South Africa. We have got more than 46 police stations. My understanding on this presentation, 1,145 police stations. If I understand correctly the presentation, 1,152 police stations. So out of 1,152 police stations, it's only 46 police stations that are not ready. If I understand the presentation correctly, it's only 46 police stations in these 9 provinces that are not ready. So with 1,000, you manage 46. And then you have the rest of this, the police stations. That means we have many police stations that can take care of your 400,000. Thank you, Chair. The last is the summit that I want to second Honorable Jackie about the summit.
Thank you. The list of questions. Very long. I'm going to give SAPS an opportunity and then I'll come back to all the members. There's only one member who hasn't had an opportunity yet. Honorable Member Patrine, are you happy? We could continue. Honorable Deputy Minister, the floor is yours.
Chairperson, I really want us to, before we give the Deputy Minister a clarity so that we can be having the real information. I heard Member Swart, Honorable Swart, saying that the two amnesties, that is 2005 and 2010, if we look at that period, we didn't
Honorable
have...
Honorable Swart, which one?
Swart. Dr. Blanche, I'm sorry. Honorable Dr. Blanche. Saying that in 2005 and 2010, the crime didn't go down. And if you can look at the presentations that actually were presented, even in that annual report, crime went down. And if you look also on the graph that was given today, and you look at the amnesty, the illegal one, and also on the amnesty of those that are legal, and you look at the difference between them, it tells a story. I disagree with him, and I don't think that is the right question for the department because the information was given. We even said we know who was the general, who was the minister at the time, and that is, let us have facts right. And the other questions will follow, but it was also on the question of those police stations. The list can be provided because we need the list that is actually consolidated with reasons of why not these police stations that are not given actually the space. And you might find that it's in the hot spot or where things are happening. They will verify that. But also, on the very same one that are surrendered or the ones that are illegal, if they find that there are some of them were listed under those that were missing during Mr. Prinsloo, who's in jail, a former police officer, are they going to open another case or recharge him? That is another one. Thank you.
Honorable members, you are really testing now. Please, I have made a ruling to say, can we give SAPS an opportunity? You will have, Honorable Purnava, really? No, I've given you enough opportunities now. Honorable Purnava, you will never behave in this fashion. Very short opportunity.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I don't want there must be misconceptions. It is true, the crime did go down, especially if you look at 2011 and so, but it was not because of the amnesty. The most, can I say, the major reason for that
was the 2010 World Cup and there were more visible policing. So let's just get the facts correctly.
Honorable Khrunawa. No. Can we give SAPS an opportunity to respond? Honorable Khrunawa, you are not SAPS, so don't respond to honorable members. Could SAPS please, Minister, Deputy Minister, please take your opportunity because honorable members, I'm not going to call you to order, but you are seriously out of order now. Deputy Minister, I apologize for this.
No, it's okay, Chair. It's okay. Thanks for the questions, Chair and members. We listened and we had the concerns that members have raised. Some of them, for instance, saying that why give a person amnesty for possession of illegal firearm? Precisely because that thing is illegal, we want to encourage them to bring them on board, Honorable Mapaz, so that they know they can bring their firearms, they won't be prosecuted. But if that firearm was involved in an act, it committed, was used in a criminal activity or during a robbery, you have shot somebody, and the ballistics prove that, you will be prosecuted for that. But I don't think I must explain further than that. Amnesty is generally used to assist, to enable an environment for you to do certain things which under normal circumstances can be done. And it's something that is done the world over. In our country, we just spoke of the 2005-2010. When we presented here, we never said that there will be no crime once this amnesty is done. We have never said that. But in our fight against crime, we believe we must retrieve as many weapons as possible from the streets or from our people and go and destroy them. If we can find ourselves in a situation where there are no guns, and people live freely without fear, that will be the ideal situation. But the reality is that we live in this environment, and from time to time we will adopt tactics that will help us to deal with what is a challenge. Guns are a problem, and hence the need to control, and hence the need to take from the street guns that are not are illegal. Of course, we not only wait for amnesties to confiscate illegal firearms. From time to time, we do raids and we do come across illegal firearms and we confiscate them. And in such instances, the amnesty does not apply. I don't get the sense, Chair, that members are opposed to the amnesty. I don't get that sense. There are issues that they are raising. Some of them, you must use a language that is not, you are not seen to be condescending to what members are saying. For instance, there's an issue about the 450 firearms. 450,000 firearms, and that this amnesty is intended to do that. And it's not correct. The amnesty has got nothing to do with the 450 firearms. The impression is created that once this amnesty is passed, we are going to go for those individuals whose licenses have expired in terms of the act, which is not the case. And we have explained here in the beginning why the amnesty is not targeted to the 450. What we have said is that
those people who have got, who fall within this category, if they so wish, they want to turn in their weapons, they will have the right to do so. Like it is normally the case, there will be others who will hand in their licensed firearms during this period. You have seen that the diagram there. It shows in 2005, so many people submitted their arms which were legal. And in 2010, the same thing. And the majority of the firearms that were submitted there are those that were legal firearms. Well, I can't preempt what will be the situation like with this amnesty, because I can't prophesize who is going to turn in their arms. It's possible if we were to look at the 2005 and the 2010 registry, legal arms were more than the illegal firearms. You can then deduce that probably you will have the same outcome, but it's not given that it will be like that. So I don't think that is an opposition to the amnesty. That's why I'm saying, Chair, listening to all members when they made their contribution here, I don't get the sense that members are having a problem with the amnesty. They support it. I think the only member who explicitly said that he's not supporting the amnesty is Honorable Tara Blanche. But even the issues that he's raising there, you know, does not necessarily mean that at all costs he opposes it. No. And of course he says that he will support anything that will help to create an environment where the level of crime declines. If by doing this criminality will decline, he will support it. You know, which is a good posture. The other issues that members have raised, we agree with, we'll take on board. That's why I say mainly members are not really opposed to the amnesty, and I think we should support the processes of amnesty and raise the issues that they think subs must deal with. Like, for instance, I think it's Honorable Groenewald who wants surety that, yes, indeed, we are not going to gun for the 450. The request for the amnesty is not for that. And I think the process to deal with this 450 is a separate process which must be allowed to unfold, and at its conclusion, the country will know what will happen. Because if, for instance, we agree that from the 1st of December, the 1st of January, amnesty starts. If it starts on January, it means it will end in June. It doesn't mean by June we will have resolved the problem of the 400. You might find that you might still be in court. But if it is resolved by that time, it will have been resolved. And I don't think it should be a problem, really. I must allow the members of the team to talk to specific questions that have been raised, which I did not talk to, with your permission, Chair. I'll allow the acting National Commissioner to start, and then the rest will come in, will follow up. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members.
When you do respond, I just need to understand, did we have two amnesties or did we have three amnesties prior to this? It's just a technical matter, because I remember there was one in 1994.
95. 2005.
2005 and 2010. So you didn't have the first amnesty to mark South Africa's transition to democracy. Oh, that's very interesting.
There was a moment when we were called upon to hand in weapons. It happened. It's just that it was an amnesty because people, if you hand in, nothing is going to happen to you. And if you don't hand in and go and get your arms cash, you will be prosecuted. Yeah.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I want to assure Honorable Members in terms of the state of readiness. We agree that there were previous instances where there were challenges, and we even cited the Prince Lo case. We indicated that there were previously attacks at police stations. In drawing up the project plan, which also makes visible the risks and the mitigation thereof, we took into consideration our experiences. Hence, we believe with the plan that we are having, we will be in a position to manage the process of amnesty. In terms of communication to the public, our position is that we will begin to communicate. We do have a plan in place as part of the project plan. We can only communicate and give direction to communities once we received approval at this level. The IBIS, there were challenges in terms of the IBIS, hence the contract has not been in place. We are at a very advanced stage of resolving the IBIS challenges as the organization. The contract will be in place. The system will be in place again. And then in terms of training, it is on-the-job training. The training takes 5 days. However, we do have members who have been whose job description is linked to the IBIS testing. We do have members that are assigned that job already. In terms of the police stations which have been excluded, we indicated in the presentation that this was based on risk assessment. Our presentation is comprehensive. However, we did not talk to the nitty-gritties. As we implement at the lower levels, we do have the detailed information, even including the names of the police stations we do have. If we have to present the names here, we will be in a position. Each province was requested after they've conducted the risk assessment to indicate those police stations. So we do have the names of the police stations. Honorable Chair, we believe there is no confusion on the firearm litigation which we have been requested to clear. Our legal services will talk to our interpretation and understanding. And also the issue of the interim judgment. We took into consideration the interim judgment in drawing up the plan. We will be able to talk to that. We believe the availability of unlawful, unwanted, or illegal firearms within the communities poses a threat to the communities, and it makes it difficult for us to do policing. And this process is one of the opportunities which will assist us towards ensuring that we are able to an extent, have a reduction of the violent crimes, because most of the crimes, as earlier indicated by my colleagues, were committed people utilizing firearms. I will hand over to Lieutenant General Jafta and Major General Mamuteti to talk to the technical questions that are pertaining to the environment. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Deputy Minister, Honourable Chairperson, and Honourable Members. Good morning once more. I will just add on to the other questions. In terms of the steering committee that has been established to monitor the implementation, the steering committee will be headed by the Deputy National Commissioner of Policing, which is the chairperson of the National Crime Combating Forum, which is also attended by the operational the other operational deputies, divisional commissioners, and deputy provincial commissioners for policing. They are all vetted. So that one has been dealt with. In terms of just looking at the stations which the Honourable Groenewald has referred to, the National Crime Combating Forum is chaired by the Deputy National Commissioner for Policing. And then all the divisional commissioners and deputy provincial commissioners attending that forum are vetted. Okay. Then just in terms of the three stations versus the 46 stations, you remember that you had various questions at the last meeting. I think what we've gone back is to up the game, following the questions and direction that we've got from this committee. We have included criteria because the first criteria was looking at the tech on police stations and where firearms were stolen. We've upped the game in terms of that, specifically after the last meeting and direction given. We also look at the standards for safe storage and also where firearms were stolen out of SAP 13. That's why the increase in the stations. But we are able to give you that list as the Deputy National Commissioner has indicated to you. Then in terms of the amnesty and firearms, are we able to say what is voluntary surrendered and what are illegal firearms? We have portrayed it there. In our presentation, we'll be able to do that also at the debriefing. There are others that we will definitely look at that is not included in our current presentation, but with the debriefing, we'll include it as directed. And by the question directed, the firearm and ammunition, we will be able to also include the ammunition that has been handed in, and we will also be able to give you the type of foreign firearms in our debriefing when we finish with the amnesty. It's not in the current presentation. Then in terms of... I think I've got the idea from the committee that they did not really attend the issue of anonymous drop-offs of firearms. That is definitely not in. We cannot have that process. It's not part of the Act either. And then in terms of what is South African Police Service getting out of the destruction, what we're getting out of that is that we are mitigating most of our risk, Chairperson. That is within our police stations itself with regards to stockpiling and those. We are not getting money out of it. And I must say that the service provider that provides us the service does it for free. There's no cost to it as well. And it's the only service provider countrywide that is willing to assist.
Sorry, then what happens to the metal?
The metal goes with other metal. Within the system currently, Chairperson. It's melted with other metal. That is what happened to it. So I'm going to leave the other technical questions in terms of the turnover times and the dealing of the licensing part to General Mamotete to respond to.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. The issue of the vetting of the DFOs, as Honourable Groenewald has indicated, that the number of the people that have been vetted, the vetting processes, we must confirm that is taking a very long process. And with this process, that's why we also have the screening process that we have included. Then the two, they run parallel. But for the purpose of us to be able to move in terms of the screen of having those people being cleared, we are encouraging that we must finalize the process of screening of which we got a confirmation from Crime Intelligence it will be done, the figures that is outstanding at the end of this month. But however, the vetting part will take long because it's actually a long process. On the number of guns that a person has must have, is in terms of the Firearms Control Act, if you read chapter, I think it's chapter 6, it will say in terms of the different section, for self-defense, how many a person must have, for sport shooting, how many a person must have. So it's outlined clearly in terms of the Firearms Control Act. The reminders for the expired license, this is actually what was coming from the Constitutional Court in terms of saying it is not the responsibility of the police to remind the gun owners on the date at which on which their firearm licenses are expiring. If we do it, it's not like we are obliged in terms of any of the provision of the Act. We are not sending the reminders because we are normally reliant on the SMSs, and the bundles have become very expensive in that environment. But also taking into consideration that if you have a firearm, it's still the responsibility of the owner, because when you are given a firearm, it will indicate the validity, that it will take 5 years, it will take how many years, so after that years, before the expiry, then you must ensure that the firearm license has expired. So I can just indicate that we don't have that. But however, we have been trying to communicate with the awareness campaigns. During the awareness campaigns, we even have drafted some posters and hand materials that we are giving to the community, that if they have a firearm license, it's still their responsibility to check their date of expiry so that they can be able to renew their licenses. The renewal part of it in terms of our APP, we're saying we finalize the application within 90 days. We stick to 90 days. The same process that is applying when the person is applying for a firearm license, when he's not in, which is not including the amnesty, will still be applicable. The person must still have a competence. He must still complete the 271s, must still have fingerprint taken, and all these processes. So we are still focusing on the number of the days that we have committed to, the 90 days. But however, for the purpose of us not being able to miss all these processes, we will be having a task team that will be dealing with that one. Must the public have a competency for renewal? Yes. If the firearm license has expired automatically, it's illegal in terms of the Constitution and the Act. Therefore, you start afresh in terms of the competency, unless if the competency is still valid, then you can just submit the competency and we move on. In terms of the reminders, I think I've spoken to that one. What else did I miss? Or the distraction, you spoke about it. Yeah, I think I've covered some. The litigations will be dealt with by legal.
Honorable Chair, I'll request Colonel Clute to talk to the legal issues.
Chase, thank you. I just can mention that there shouldn't be any confusion regarding the litigation. The only case that is really causing the confusion is the Gun Owners Association versus the National Commissioner and the Minister of Police case. That case is currently under appeal in the Supreme Court of Appeal. The heads of arguments on behalf of the police was filed last week. The Gun Owners Association is supposed to file their heads of arguments on the 16th of November, and then we'll wait for a directive regarding a date. What it needs to be clarified is that if we look at the interdict that was granted, it refers that the police is interdicted from accepting and requesting people to hand in firearms for the sole reason that the license for which the firearm was granted has expired. So it remains to the firearms that where the license has expired. It has no bearing on any other unlawfully possessed firearm, or there's nothing in this judgment that prevents the minister from implementing and complying, requesting Section 139 amnesty. With regards to that position, the Honourable Member Groenewald referred to the letter of the National Commissioner, which was issued subsequent to that judgment. That letter is still valid and in place. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I think there's one question I've omitted, and it was a question with regard to the budget. Budget for the amnesty, I can confirm there's a dedicated budget for the amnesty.
Thank you. Honourable Chair, I just want to go back to the screening. The screening is done by our intelligence. The vetting, as indicated by General Mamuteti, is a continuing process to ensure that we do not have members that are vulnerable within the Central Firearm Register based on the experience. But then we are satisfied that through the screening process, members who will be involved in the amnesty are the right people. Thanks.
DM?
Thanks, Chair. I think that should suffice for our response. Yeah. But thanks for the opportunity.
For now, Honourable Members, before we break, and then I'll come back and ask for another round. I'm going to do a midterm summary, halfway summary. And then I would like Honourable Members to indicate if we're moving in that direction or if we have serious concerns thereafter. We are all in agreement that we would like to reduce violent crime. There's no dispute about that. The committee supports the minister's and the president's call to address violent crime and to eradicate violent crime. No dispute on that. We are also in agreement that firearm amnesties have been used, and they have been used in the country, and they are used worldwide to reduce the circulation of illegal firearms. We get to the conditions of the amnesty, and the members are saying that those conditions are key to success. I need you to indicate your conditions or what you're concerned about. This is not a no questions asked amnesty. It's not a blanket approval. So the conditions of the proposed amnesty is that there will be indemnity, but that this indemnity does not apply for those firearms which were used to commit a crime. The Firearms Control Act would need to be explained in the next session or a session. The Central Firearms Registry was established to process and monitor firearm ownership through applications and renewal. Do I have an understanding that you are concerned about the challenges with this registry? That there are challenges, and that in the previous committee meeting you mentioned and you raised these concerns. You also raised concerns about the information technology system of the Central Firearms Registry. So as I said, honorable members, that the department and SAPS came with a turnaround strategy. We have been presented with SAPS turnaround strategy. Now, our responses, and I spoke about the conditions, are to be met through the SAPS turnaround strategy. So, the turnaround strategy we've adopted in this committee to address the service delivery challenges. If you disagree with me, please, you will have an opportunity to do so. So, we have allegations of fraud and corruption within the system, and that those allegations will be dealt with through the turnaround strategy. I further would like to insist that the IBIS, the Integrated Ballistic Identification System, will be concluded. The committee members are unhappy that the system is not in place, and there is a commitment from SAPS, that the contract would be speedily concluded. So, the program will be rolled out through the Forensic Science Laboratory. SAPS, please correct me if this is not what you are saying. And that crime intelligence will be responsible for screening and vetting, whereas the committee said that this process has to be fast-tracked. You are confident that you have the capacity to fast-track the vetting and the screening. This is a concern which was raised by the committee. So I get back to our objective. The first objective is to reduce the number of illegally possessed firearms in circulation. We're in agreement, we want to reduce the number of firearms which are in illegal possession in the country, or illegal circulation in the country.
Yeah, I have my reservations on that one.
Yeah. Alright. So we'll come back to that one. Then we want to provide firearm owners with the opportunity to hand in unwanted firearms. Not in agreement. Alright?
Also, my reservations on that one, you're going to come back.
No, we're coming back. Right. So I'm trying to, if we're in disagreement, I'm coming back to it. I just want to direct the submissions going forward. This first round, I've given you an opportunity to really express your general concerns. So I want you to focus on that which we are not in agreement with. Then, you want to address, you want to further address the matter of licensing. The licensing of those who did have legal firearms, but whose licenses have expired. So for us to renew those licenses, you're saying that you need a competency test. That's correct?
No, so if you renew your license, it depends. If you have, for instance, a firearm only for self-defense, the competency certificate is also normally for 5 years. But if you have, for instance, a firearm for self-defense, but you also have a hunting rifle, for instance, the competency certificate is normally for, I think, 20 years. 10 years, that's correct, the 10 years. But that means
if you already have a competency, you don't have to renew the competency again with the with your application of the renewal of the file.
What we could include this, that SEPS has assured us that you would have the capacity to do these competency tests. They don't do it.
I mean, if you look at the process, the competency is with an accredited provider, service provider, or anything like that. But the competency is not done by the police services.
Then I'm satisfied. Are we all satisfied on that? Good. I have less concerns now. We get to the legal part. Please listen to my summary because I'm not a legal practitioner. The interim court order does not prohibit the proposed firearm amnesty. So the vacuum of expired licenses, that creates your concern. They are now regarded as illegal, and so that is also your concern.
I think also, Chairperson, there must be taken note that has just been said, but the gun owners of South Africa also interdicted the police to give back those firearms. That's a very important issue there.
Chairperson.
I'm coming to the areas where we are have concerns. I now have three areas that we have to discuss. So when we return, I'll give the SEPs an opportunity and the DM too. DM?
We're saying there's an act, yes. But we're saying that those whose license have expired, they've got illegal arms. But you can't arrest them. So you can't say they are illegal. Those whose license have expired and they have not renewed, as things stand, you can't go and arrest them. You can't do that. Yes. So technically they are legal.
What is your concern? Sorry, I'm trying to move towards answering questions.
Yes, but I'm not saying we must not attend to that problem ultimately. We must attend to it, but we must not conflate it with the amnesty. The amnesty is a separate process altogether. This situation of the 450 individuals or arms must be attended to, because as a country we can't live with an environment like that. So it means from the side of the department and the affected people, there must be a said to make our for nothering. That's what must happen. So,
do you want me to respond now or after the break?
I'm giving you a break for the to nothering. To nothering is you must have your break and coffee. I don't have anything stronger than coffee. You must have tea and you should discuss this and find some common ground. Could you find some common ground? We are breaking. We have reduced it now to three areas of concern. Deputy Minister and Generals, I think we do have the goodwill. We have the intention to address those concerns and to find common ground. I would allow you to have a tea break. We'll reconvene within a half an hour's time. Half an hour? There's no lunch. Please get your own lunch. There's cost containment measures. No, there's a two-nadering. It's a half an hour for... You may talk now if you have any concerns.
Can I ask for 15 minutes? It's enough.
Would that be enough?
Yeah. Yeah.
15 minutes, agreed. Allow. I will allow the Deputy Minister to assist us. We were not in agreement, and then I'll come back. If you are still unhappy, I'll come back to the members. Reducing the number of illegally possessed firearms in circulation in South Africa. Honorable members, we are not saying eradicating. We are saying reducing. So there will be a reduction. There will not, we are very clear that there will be a reduction in the number of illegally possessed firearms. It will not lead to the complete eradication of firearms in society. We hope to reach that stage one day, but it is not going to address the complete cleaning up of firearms in society. We are not that ambitious or idealistic. The reality is that there will still be firearms in circulation, but we will reduce the number of firearms in circulation. Honorable Groenewald, you're still unhappy.
I disagree, Chairperson. It sounds like gun-free South Africa's pipe dreams, but I disagree with that one. With great respect.
You disagree that there will be a reduction?
Of course. Well, of course there's going to be a reduction.
Yes.
But I mean, the eradication is not even on the table.
No, that's what I'm saying. That is not our ambition. So we're talking the same language, net to Bikki Engel. Ons stem saam dat ons gaan het verminder. Dit sal net verminder. Dit sal nie totaal verdwyn nie. Ons gaan dit nie totaal aanspreek nie.
My Engels is nog nie so swak, die voorsitter.
My Afrikaans is swak. My Afrikaans is non-existent. I do speak Afrikaans a little bit, but are we now in agreement? Yes. The Tunadren has worked. We are in agreement that firearm owners will have the opportunity to hand in their unwanted firearms. Agreement.
No. To a person of great respect, why do you want to state that?
No, you are in disagreement.
No. What I...
If we don't need to state it, I'm repeating it because... Earlier you were in disagreement, so Tunadren has worked.
No. He was saying you don't need an amnesty to hand over your licensed firearm. But we are just saying in this context, even those who have got legal firearms, they will get the opportunity to hand over what they don't want.
We are agreement now, there is not the amnesty that is required. You may end in, Honorable Groenewald, complete the amnesty for this. We are in agreement.
Okay,
now yes, you do not need an amnesty for a legal firearm. We're getting closer to agreement. DM, you in agreement? Okay. Then we are concerned about the licenses. The renewal of the licenses. Separate process? This is a separate process. Groenewald?
Sure, it's a separate process, Jefferson, but... Again, if I may use the words of the Honorable Deputy Minister of Context, that's part of the problem, if I may, because you're asking it now. And I disagree with great respect with the Deputy Minister to say it's not about those firearms whose licenses has been expired. And if you allow me, Jefferson, I will prove it to you.
by reading to you a directive from the police services. A directive of the police services issued in Northwest. It is the implementation plan, preparation for amnesty, instructions relating to the processing and receive of firearms, of the firearms. Let me read it to you that you can see what I mean by that. It says the following. Cluster and station commanders are instructed to immediately set up cluster flash teams led by the senior DFO, designated firearms officer, at an accounting station. It says then, the team of DFOs must immediately compile an audit of the individuals or persons in each policing precinct who were previously licensed to possess firearms and who are now in illegal possession due to the non-renewal of the license. Notices must then be sent out to such persons, advising them to voluntary hand in such firearms during and within the proclaimed amnesty period. This is a police directive specifically targeting those people that have to make an audit in their prison whose firearms licenses have been expired. And to say to me, oh, but it's not, it's still waiting for the amnesty period. This is illegal. This is a directive circulating in Northwest Province. And that's my proof, Chairperson, to say that, again, we are targeting, or it is clear that with this amnesty, and I said it again, all the previous amnesties, not one single firearm. And if you read all the other good things, which I agree, of course, you want those people to come forward and give their illegal firearms. But illegal firearm now became a technical issue because of the fact that the licenses have expired. But that technical issue has not been resolved. We're still waiting for the litigation, we've heard. The papers have been submitted. And that's my whole issue and my whole point, Chairperson, as far as that specific issue is concerned.
Chairperson, Chair.
I'm coming to closure now. There's only one point we are disagreeing on.
I want to respond to that, Chair. Chairperson, what I don't understand to what Honorable Groenewald is raising is that when you have a firearm, if I'm a firearm owner and my firearm expires, the license expires, after that, that firearm is illegal. That is my understanding. So,
no, Chair, if I may assist, that's part of the problem, and it's quite clear. But
can I finish, Chairperson? Please, can I not be disrupted? Because it's not like...
Honorable Groenewald, we listen to you. Could we now listen to the other members, please?
I don't know when Honorable Groenewald determines when it's not illegal according to his understanding. Because according to law, even if you have a driver's license and it expires, you are given a period of amnesty of 3 or 6 weeks to go and renew your license. And if that does not happen, there's a legal process that unfolds. Now, he's coming up with something to say that as an owner of a firearm, if my license expires, now this amnesty period gives even an opportunity to those owners to come forward and say that I've got a firearm. And then you have a period to maybe to license your firearm, I think. But now what is wrong with that? Why do people don't want to follow the legal route? Because this is the thing to say that why are people keeping firearms that are not licensed, Chairperson? Why are we promoting illegal activities? If you are a firearm owner, you have a responsibility to make sure that within the years that you are given or months that you must go and renew your firearm. And I think that as a committee, we must agree on that. even on the point that he raised to say that in 2010 and 2015 on the chart, in 2005 and 2010, Honorable Groenewald is saying that the reduction of firearms then, it was because of the 2010 World Cup. That is not a true reflection, because it was in 2005 that we had a huge, reductions of firearm. Even the margin chairperson, because we must look at the period then was 6 months in 2005. And in 2013, the reason that the number was reduced, it was because of the months that were there, because it was 3 months. So I think, chairperson, it is important that when we talk, we talk with correct facts so that we don't mislead, because it's important as members of parliament we encourage people to go and renew their firearm licenses. And the amnesty is giving our members of our communities that opportunity to go and renew. Thank you.
Wait a minute. I'm starting here. I said I'll give them an opportunity and then DM will give us information. All right, DM, and then I'm coming back.
Ask the acting commissioner to provide that information.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I am going to read a directive that withdraws the letter that was circulated in the Northwest. There was a direct subsequent to the Gauteng High Court, the Pretoria Interim Order, Gun Owners of South Africa versus National Commissioner and Minister of Police. The National Commissioner on the 30th 7, 2018 sent out a directive. Then we had the Provincial Commissioner Northwest sending another directive that was moving away from the directive of the National Commissioner. But then, once we became aware, we instructed that that letter should be withdrawn with immediate effect. Herewith, I am going to read a letter dated the 2nd 10, 2019. It was circulated in the Northwest. It's a reference number 27/5/2/1/42/1/2/1/5. The inquiry is Major General Ascending and Brigadier Molate. It's addressed to all cluster commanders, South African Police Service Northwest, and also all station commanders, South African Police Northwest. The subject is implementation plan, preparation for amnesty, 2019-2020, instructions relating to the processing and receiving of firearms Northwest. And then it says, one, this office letter 27/5/2/1/42/1/2/1 dated 2019-9/17 refers. Kindly note that the above mentioned circular is withdrawn with immediate effect until further notice. This letter is dated the 2nd of 10, 2019. It talks to the circular that was circulating within the Northwest. Thanks, Chair.
We will give a, there was a request that there must, is it a directive that you said we must have through you, Chair? We will provide whatever the committee wants to have, but that is our understanding, and we will agree with what you are raising here about a separate process.
I have two last ends, Honorable Mapatu and then Honorable Kurnova. A third one, Mafanya, done.
Yes, Honorable Chair.
And then Terblanche.
Yeah, I think we are agreeing as a committee here with those clarifications. We can't be seen as members of Parliament to be promoting illegal possession of firearms.
Now, Honorable Fako here, just explain it very simple, that if you have got a driver's license, it expires. There is no uproar, there's never been an uprising about that, because you know that they will arrest you, because you're not competent to drive. Same applies with the licensing, the firearms license. You know when you go for applying, there are conditions that this license is 5 years or 20 years. Now, you have not renewed it. According to the law, if you did not renew it, that means your firearm is illegal. But the government, the Department of Police is saying, we are giving you an opportunity that you can renew your license. The issue that I wanted to propose, Chair, is that the backlog that you will be having, it might be too big for the police to deal with issuing of the licenses, renewing the licenses very fast. And it might be disadvantaging genuine people who have surrendered their guns. My proposal it is, how about staggering the implementation? You know, you deal with the backlog first, then you come to the other ones that have been applied renewal, you come to it. You stagger it. Because if you don't do that, you're going to have a full of the whole wall with licenses. So if you stagger it, you know, gradually stagger it for the renewal, it will also encourage people to come. There's nothing about taking arms from people to protect them. The fact of the matter is that we cannot also break the law that you know that you are given the condition that this license expires in 2012. And you are reminded, then the government says, here is an amnesty for you to renew your own license. And you can't be seen as members of parliament to be seen to be encouraging people not to renew their licenses. We should be seen to be fighting against crime and say people must renew their firearms. Lastly, Chair, it's that if you want to reduce crime, how do you know that sometimes people with this licensed firearms are involved in criminal activities? So if it has expired, it's upon you that you must go straight there and say, I want to renew. Now you are given an amnesty, the amnesty saying, we are giving you enough time to renew. Thank you, Chair.
I have good news for you, Chairperson. Yeah. I agree with what the Honorable Mapatsu has said. But there's a big difference. I don't know whether he understands what he really said. Let me first say, to use the example of the driving license.
But please withdraw.
Sorry. My apologies. I don't mean it in a derogative way. I said I agree with him.
Yes, but in the last part was...
Okay, we'll withdraw that. I withdraw that. No, what I mean, the implications. No, sorry. No, don't worry about that one. We're going to agree.
Okay.
Can I just use the example of the driving license to get perspective from that, Chairperson? It's true. If your driving license is expired and the traffic officer pulls you off, yes, you get a fine. But it does not confiscate your vehicle. And that's the difference. And that was exactly my private member's bill on this specific issue in the previous parliament, where I said, if your firearm license has expired, then, yes, you must pay a fine, but give an opportunity to renew it. It has been rejected on a decisive vote from the chair at this moment. Maybe we had the wrong chair. But that aside, but why I agree with the Honourable Mapatse and what I meant by, if you knew what he meant, is the following. I agree, and I will go and accept an amnesty period, and I've listened very carefully. And if we allow and say in that period, that's part of the conditions, that we say that people whose firearms licenses had expired may apply for the renewal of the firearm, because that is what he said. But what I said, I wonder when he understand what it meant, is the following. There's a difference in process between the renewal of a firearm license and the new application for a firearm. That's what I meant. So I will be quite satisfied. In fact, I think that's a good opportunity. In fact, that will solve the uncertainty amongst firearm owners, because now we give them 6 months and say, within the 6 months, if your firearms license has expired, you now have an opportunity to go and renew your firearms. I will go with that. But not hand in your firearm and then you must go through the whole process to apply for a new license, for the renewal. And that's what I, please don't take offense by what I've meant by that. I will accept that we give them 6 months, always, because I agree. We cannot allow people to have firearms illegally in their possession. At this moment, those people don't have it illegally. In fact, may I just also say to the committee, and I mean it very honestly, I mean, there's also a court case in 2009. You have people who's got, we refer to the old green license, who did not even apply for new licenses under the new law. Those licenses, the court determined, is still valid. So you don't even have to renew them. So you see, this is quite a complex story. But I think, Chairperson, if this committee wants to make a contribution as far as that is concerned, and we say yes in the amnesty period, 6 months, with what time it starts, it doesn't matter, if we allow them to say to people in that period as well, if you want to renew your firearms, you go through the process of renewal of your firearm. That will be a huge advantage for those people. So those people who want to keep their firearms, then we can say after that amnesty period, you had a fair chance. And if you didn't make use of it, then you must pay the consequences. So with that, Chairperson, I will fully agree on the renewal of the firearms licenses that has expired. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. The on-slide phase one planning, it says details of 2518 members were provided to Division Crime Intelligence for screening and vetting. Currently, 162 members are screened, meaning remaining with 98, and 109 vetted. So, I propose within the very same 6 months that we talk about, I propose the date to be from December. And then in between places, we should be actually be told how many within the 6 months period have been vetted before the commencement of that. And then lastly, in slide four, it says on phase four destruction, it says here,
compile a final destruction report. Now, I would like to have the report for 2005 and 2010 when the weapons were destructed. And the reason being, we would like to actually see as whether there will be a need for any kind of deviation in terms of what needs to happen in terms of destruction in this time. Thank you.
And then Mofokeng, and then Pico.
Chairperson, thank you. I also have very good news for you. I'm also... Yeah, the Toenadering has also worked to a large extent. I feel really much more comfortable. There are, you know, and just two things. Chairperson, I think first of all there's a huge confusion still, Deputy Minister, out there amongst the public. And that's why, you know, when I started, I raised the issue that we were promised in the previous engagement that public participation or whatever. You know, I don't know how the police is going to deal with that. They are massive organizations. They can do it. I really think that what we have been discussing here and the way forward should be discussed or you know, just explained to people in more detail. That will bring, you know, a lot of more calm and confidence in the process. So obviously I support, like I said in the beginning, we support anything that will bring down crime. Really, we need to. Then lastly, and sorry General Mugwenya, you know, we were still friends till this morning, and I hope we can still carry on that way. I am not, and that is just, you know, a concern. I am not really convinced yet that the police is properly prepared as we sit here now for the process. But I'll leave it at that, and maybe we just need to say something about that. Chairperson, some of the police stations, you know, after hours, you have one police official on duty there. And I can just imagine that those are some of the police stations that are possibly excluded, part of the 46. But also security measures. Very few police stations nowadays have access control. You know, and where there is, you know, we have security guards there. You know, I don't know. Maybe that is just something that we need to apply again. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm covered.
Thank you, Honorable Mofokeng. And then I'm going to Peacock and Paku. You are covered. My Honorable Member Shembeni. And then he's the one I listen to the most, because, you know, when he speaks, I really listen. These others, they talk all the time.
But thank you, Chairperson.
I'm declaring.
Yes,
I'm just declaring.
Honourable Member, withdraw, please.
Well, Chairperson has withdrawn.
Thanks, Chairperson. You'll be surprised that Comrade Mafane, what he said, we agree. And then we are adding on saying that on the issue of the destruction, we note that it was done provincially. But the report of 2005 and 2010 on our discussion, we have a reason for doing that, so that we can be able to advise and assist in the future of going forward. And noting all that they said about the traveling and all that, the budget and all that, but we are saying that that part is very important for us. I don't know if maybe Member Mafane forgot to say that we don't know the companies they have used in all those provinces, that maybe we can be given the list of that. We want to do some research on that work too. Thank you.
Honorable Pico, and then Shembeni.
Thank you, Chair. mine would be on the issue of the firearm amnesty. according to my understanding, and while I was going through the document, it was clear that the purpose was for the expired license. If you don't longer want to make use of it, then you can take it and submit it at the police station. The second one was for illegal firearms. With this one, immediately then there'll be investigations upon this illegal firearm. That's my understanding. The third one was for renewal of the licenses. That's how I understand the presentation and the amnesty. And for that record, what I don't know if it's Honorable Terrell Branch or Honorable Groenewald that spoke of the amnesty would be as if now SAPS will want to claim victory that this is what we've collected. And to them, it says that it means that we are collecting illegal as well as those that are supposed to be renewed. And at the ultimate end, it will look as if now this is the achievement for SAPS. Of which I would like to differ with him, because immediately when these weapons or these firearms are submitted, there'll be a segregative report that will state that this one is given based on illegal firearm. This one is for this purpose and this one is for that purpose. And of which at the ultimate end, the report that we'll get, it will state how many was for what. So for me, I don't know what is the problem of us. We are looking for a corner or a point in a circle, but we are all talking same language. That's how I understand how the presentation is. I thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, now, please, honorable members, the last one is Honorable Shembeni, then the Deputy Minister, and then the Chair close.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. But the thing is, when we talk about unlicensed firearm, it's an offense or it's a crime to be in possession of an unlicensed firearm. That's it. It ends there. When it comes to amnesty and all these things, I think we are talking now about a different thing. That you did not renew your license once you have it in your possession, it's unlicensed. That's wrong. It's a crime. Now, in the amnesty issue, it must be stated that those who failed now will be given for such a period. That is doing them a favor. But to have that firearm in your possession when your license has expired, it's unlawful. It ends there. Now, I just want to remind the SAPS about the arms cages used during the liberation struggles and the proliferated by this apartheid regimes to either these Bantustans. We do still have arms that are being kept somewhere and somehow. So I think in their operations they must include that, because you find out that I've noticed in Mpumalanga that there were a lot of arms and ammunition that were found hidden somewhere, meaning that we might still be having a lot. And those arms, if they are stolen, they are not reported because they are not registered. So I'm having my 20 or 200 firearms, I've hidden them, and then they get stolen, and then I don't even have to report because they are illegal. So I think we must go around check on that. Thank you very much.
Honorable Deputy Minister, we are in total agreement and you have the support of all the political parties. However, there is a request that you do consider the 6 months for the renewal process. This is a bit of a concern. We do not expect you to answer it immediately, because you need to separate the process now. And I'm not sure if SAPS has the ability to do both. Can you separate it? Because you now want renewal, an extension of renewal. As Honorable Member Shembeni said, this is actually, we're asking the minister to give us a concession. It's a favor. We're requesting this concession. So you have to, Honorable Deputy, you don't need to respond to it, but could you take that request very seriously? We are asking for a report on, detailed report on 2005 and 2010. With a breakdown of destruction, renewal, not just two columns, a more detailed breakdown. If you cannot provide it, could you prepare for this amnesty, that the statistics you give us for this amnesty be more accurate, that we have categories of renewal, categories of destruction, categories of illegal, what you consider to be illegal, because you have different categories. Could you actually capture those categories in your reports? Deputy Minister, I'm saying that now the request the Minister of Police has made to the committee to support the declaration of the amnesty for the period of 6 months has been approved, and that the date, the recommended date for commencement for the amnesty has provisionally been set at the 1st of December. So we expect the minister and the department to confirm that date when they regulate this process. We expect, the committee expects, or this is not just an expectation, the committee would like reports on this amnesty by the end of January when we return. When do we return? In beginning of February. Upon our return, we would want the first report, and not after 6 months. So we require, would you like monthly or every second month? Every second month, because it's 6 months. We don't want at the end of the 6 months and then we discover all the loopholes. So we could say the first report should be upon our return, February, beginning of February 2020. We'll expect the first report. And then we agree that we are in agreement now that in terms of Section 138 of the Firearm Control Act, amnesty means the indemnity for, what is nothing? Indemnity, yes, the wording here must be very correct. What is your indemnity, Minister, Deputy? For the illegal possession of firearms and ammunition. Are we all in agreement? I'm listening. I want the summary to be correct. I do not want to be challenged in court, please.
Just make sure that the chair doesn't refer to 138, but 139.
As in section, in terms of section 139(1) of the Firearm Control Act, the minister may note in the Gazette to declare the firearm amnesty. According to section 139(1) of the Firearm Control Act,
Honourable Member, that brings to the end.
Sorry, Chair. Before I can say it's gone, you've used the word, this is very technical. You said the committee request the minister. So do I understand it quite clearly that part of the conditions in terms of this section 139, I think the conditions is 138, if I'm not sure. Okay, doesn't matter. That the part of the conditions will be that owners of expired firearms will have in this period have the opportunity to apply for the renewal. It's part of it. It's not a request.
No, it's a request. We are requesting the minister to consider this for now.
Chair, then I've got a problem because the minister can say, yeah, you request me, but I say no.
Honourable,
a request is you decide, is it yes or no?
This is the only outstanding matter. I'm summarizing, that's what I'm saying. When we leave here, I can request the minister to do something and motivate for such a request. And the committee is certainly motivating for such a request. I'm not opening for discussion.
Listen, please. While we are requesting now, can I just add something to the request? That there must be an information sort of whatever to inform the public properly about this. Thank you.
That's part of the summary. Minister, Deputy Minister, that's just this request that's outstanding.
May I ask you, I know it's the time is running out, but this is very important, Chair.
I'm absolutely in agreement that this is the only outstanding matter.
Okay, but can I say, Chairperson, this committee makes the decision, not the minister. The portfolio committee must approve the conditions and everything. If we approve, it's not a matter for the minister to consider it. We are the legal body to make the decision. And if we say that, yes, you can have amnesty, but part of that is the renewal of the firearms, as we've indicated, then those are the preconditions.
Honourable Groenewald, I'm extremely cautious. If you listen to me carefully, I said we are separating the process. And I'm not sure if the police have the capacity to do so. So I am reluctant to take a general approval on this because I doubt and I would like to know if this is possible. I do not want any legal ramifications after this. We do not want to take a decision in this portfolio committee which will be challenged in court as soon as we leave here today. So I'm respectfully requesting that we consider the capacity of the police to do so, because this is another process which we are introducing into the amnesty process.
May I then, just for recording purposes, Chairperson, I keep my reservation on the approval or not on this matter, because for me it's crucial.
This is what we note, a DM. You do not need to say yes or no. We are saying that could you seriously consider this, because if you can consider this, you would have firm support on the matter.
No, thanks, Chair, and thanks to the committee. I think we've had a very fruitful interaction with the committee, and we are happy that you support the amnesty issue that has been put before yourselves here. and we have had your request as well. We will go back and have a discussion around that. I agree with you that we need to be cautious on this matter because there is a law that has been passed by yourselves which is now in operation and which has created the environment which we discussed about earlier on, about the court cases and all those things. So we are alive to that. We'll go back and interact with the leadership of the police and come back to you with regard to how we can go about handling that specific request going forward. But generally, we are happy and grateful that the committee reached the deliberations that they have reached this morning. Thank you very much.
Honorable members, that brings to the close the business of today. We are in agreement with the amnesty. There is no subject to. You cannot say you approve subject to. So we are in agreement. We are requesting the minister to seriously consider the application for renewal. This would ensure that we do not have any further legal challenges, that this process can be engaged in, and please indicate to the minister that we would like this process to start as soon as possible, and we would like all legal challenges to be averted, and that this process is actually free of legal challenges. If it's free of legal challenges, it will be easier for us to convince the people of South Africa to participate. Honorable members, I really would like you to applaud yourselves for this kind of positive engagement. It has been one of the tricky situations we've navigated, but I think there's light at the end of the tunnel. The light is not even at the end of the tunnel. We have reached an amicable solution on the matter. And there's an amicable agreement. Essentially, there's an agreement on the matter. Deputy Minister, convey our appreciation to the Minister for the team that has been presented today. They represented you very well. And convey to the Minister that we accepted his apology, but that the meeting was very well managed. Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Members. That brings to an end the business of today. Thank you.